In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hello and welcome to 2021. It's a brand new year filled with infinite possibilities. Sometime this year, if all goes well, you will get vaccinated. Kids will be back in school. You will shop in crowded shopping malls. You might even go to a concert or to a live sporting event. Again, anything's possible. Oh, and you're gonna pay more for the food you eat. Like, a lot more. Part of that, of course, is the fallout from a year that was as abnormal as any in living memory. But part of it isn't. The grocery supply chain had to make adjustments. Of course, in 2020, and lots of food was wasted as a result. There were outbreaks in food processing plants, and shipping food to grocery stores became more difficult. But there were also factors that drove up prices that had nothing to do with COVID-19 and that won't be gone whenever this virus disappears. So how high will your grocery bill go this year? What are the categories that will see the sharpest increases? Where can you find value in your shopping? And exactly what should we prepare for in the next few years as we learn just how precarious our current food delivery system can be? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is the first big story of 2021. Welcome to a new year. I wish we were starting off on a happier note, but this is fascinating. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois is a professor in food distribution and policy at Dalhousie University. He is the lead author of the Canada Food Report for 2020. Hello, Dr. Charlebois.
Hello.
Before we talk about this year, let's discuss 2020. What happened to our food supply chain in Canada when the pandemic first hit?
Well, it's been an incredible year. I mean, a lot of things did happen that are likely not to happen again for a while. For one, the lockdowns, at least the first cycle, we saw an entire industry collapse. Basically, food service, the restaurant, all restaurants weren't ready to accommodate a clientele that was staying at home. And so a lot of people, basically all that business went from one sector to another, which is food retail. And food retail, food retailing in Canada or in the Western world, not just in Canada, was overwhelmed by this excess volume of business. And when you look at the arithmetic of growth in retail, you can easily see where growth was coming from. People just didn't go out to eat anymore. People had to go and get food in stores to cook at home. And so that shift only happened within days. And so it was very difficult for the industry to basically shift everything to focus on supporting one channel instead of two channels.
How did they do that? And what was the end impact on consumers?
Well, it depends of the product, but obviously a lot of things will have had to happen in processing, starting with packaging and assortment. The way you service a food service industry is just not the same thing as in retail. The level of service is different. The packaging is different. And still today, you can see in packaging, there are still some challenges with flour. For example, you're still seeing some brown bags all over the place. And of course, in food service, you sell a lot more in bulk, like eggs with racks, for example. At retail, well, it's about selling a dozen of eggs. And so all of these things really just put more pressure on processing, which is why we saw a lot of problems at that level of the supply chain. In production, eggs continue to be produced. chickens will continue to lay eggs. And so that's the pressure that processors had to deal with. And that's why we saw a lot of milk being dumped. Unfortunately, some animals were euthanized as well. Some commodities were left out in the fields. Mushroom were wasted, lettuce, asparaguses. I mean, there were so many cases of waste, unfortunately, just because the supply chain was under a lot of pressure.
How did that impact what the average Canadian family was eating and how much they were paying for it?
Well, it didn't impact food prices at the beginning of the year. We were seeing food prices go up because last year we actually did forecast a high food inflation rate, and that's kind of what was going on. So we were on path to be right, and we ended the year also being right with our forecast. What we did not predict is to see the general inflation rate be at basically at zero. And so unfortunately, it just makes 3-4% of the grocery store look like 10% or 12%. And that's why a lot of people are noticing that food prices are going up.
Right.
So there was nothing unpredictable about food prices in 2020, but we are expecting 2021's food prices to be affected by COVID just because of that lagging effect that we've seen in processing, that we've seen in several commodities.
And when you say we expect a price hike, can you quantify that? Like, what are we talking about for the average Canadian or the average family?
Yeah, so for 2021, we are expecting an increase of anywhere between 3-5%. So for a family, which would include, say, a man, an adult man, an adult woman, and two children, a boy and girl, that family should expect to pay about $695 more for the same food they would have bought in 2020. Which is the highest hike we've ever forecasted. And so the 5% is not the highest, but the amount of money. So the average family of four in Canada could spend almost $14,000 on food in 2021. That's a bit of money.
Yeah, no kidding. Can I ask you a really nerdy question? Like, how do you come up with that number? How do you manage to figure out I'm sure you could probably talk for an hour about it, but I'm just trying to wrap my head around like how you kind of look at what an average family would eat and translate that to prices and et cetera, et cetera.
No, it's not a dumb question. In fact, there's some science to it. So first of all, as a group, and we are four universities and 24 co-authors on this report, we have to agree on a typical food basket. What are the items that we should include in a healthy food basket? And of course, most of the inspiration does come from Canada's Food Guide, obviously. And so so we designed the food basket. And then, of course, we look at portions. So a man, an adult man, won't necessarily eat the same way as an adult woman. In fact, an adult man will eat probably 30% more than an adult woman on average. So you have to look at that, and children will eat differently. And so if you look in the report, we basically we are setting a budget for every individual, except for pregnant women. But pregnant women tend to eat even more so than men starting in the second trimester. And so you can easily figure out what your budget should be in 2021 when you start recreating your own family in that chapter of our report.
When you look at these increases that are kind of coming across the board, I would imagine they're a lot higher for some kinds of food than others. What foods in particular will be much more expensive this year?
Yeah, that's the unusual part about 2020 is that typically you would see one, maybe two food categories attracting some attention. But for 2021, there are three. And so the three are meat, bakery, and vegetables. So all three, we're expecting those three food categories to drive food prices higher over the next 12 months for different reasons. But those are the three that we've noticed that we could face some challenges there.
What are those reasons? I imagine for meat, a good portion of it is just because meat packing plants have been so hard hit by COVID. But what else is behind that?
Well, yeah, a lot of it has to do with that. There are some backlogs that we have to deal with now. It does increase costs, unfortunately. What's unusual about 2020 is that the three major components of the meat trifecta, beef, pork, and chicken, all three components are actually got more expensive, which is actually rare. Typically, you would see one get more expensive. And we are expecting that trend to continue to 2021. And frankly, I actually do think that really prices are going to get scary at the meat counter, which could actually get people to look elsewhere. For example, we may see more Canadians consider vegetable proteins that are, and they're actually getting cheaper. And also the other thing that we've noticed in 2020 is that specialty meats like elk, duck, rabbit, bison, those meats are actually becoming more popular. Food service is closed, like for restaurants are closed, and people are cooking at home, and they may actually look at beef prices, for example, and say, well, if beef is so expensive, why not buy something I'm not accustomed to and try something new? There's a lot of that going on right now with meat economics.
That's fascinating. What about bakery and produce? Why are they so high? Is that COVID as well?
With bakery, it's a cyclical thing. We believe that input costs will rise for industrial bakers, and bakery has been a non-issue for a few years, essentially, because prices haven't gone up in that section of the grocery store, which really typically would signal an increase eventually. And we think that 2021 will be the year. So we're expecting a hike there. And with produce and vegetables, it's a global procurement story. We do believe that importers in Canada will have a harder time getting good deals outside the country, especially from December to May. And California was hit by major wildfires this year, and the smoke was very intense, which damaged some of the crops. And so we are expecting that play to be a little bit more challenging for importers in 2021.
How do restaurants factor into this? I mean, they had an awful year in 2020. Hopefully, as the vaccine rolls out and case numbers go down, they can start opening up again. How are these increased prices going to impact them? And, you know, by extension, I imagine that they will pass some of that off to the consumer.
Oh, probably. So again, the food service component was very hard for us to manage this year. Past years, it was pretty easy. We basically figured that the average household would spend about 35, 36% of its budget on food consumed outside the home. We couldn't assume that this year just because of lockdowns and because of how the sector has been hard hit by what's been happening. And so we basically just decided to put aside food service and just look at menu prices. So we are expecting menu prices to go up significantly just because to make sure that operations are profitable and while accommodating fewer patrons, you really have to raise menu prices. And it was already happening all over the place. Menu prices were very, very high by the time we got to December. And so we are expecting in the winter or in the summer to see restaurateurs increase menu prices. And frankly, I think they should because they know Canadians will want to go out as much as possible. And not everyone will want to go out as much as possible, but a lot of Canadians will just want to go out because they're experiencing cooking fatigue. They just want to go out and experience something else and feel normal again.
I don't think any of us who managed to get out to a restaurant in 2021 are going to begrudge the restaurants that have managed to survive this a couple of extra bucks on the bill.
Oh, no, absolutely. And that sector is very resilient. And we know by now that we may lose 25 to 30% of all restaurants in Canada that will never reopen again. But I wouldn't be surprised if some of these restaurateurs will come back next year or in a few years from now with new ideas, new menus, new concepts. That sector has been very innovative over the years. And in fact, food service has impacted, influenced food retail over the last few years. Most of the new trends we've seen in recent years came from food service. So we really need a strong food service sector.
You kind of touched on this a few minutes ago, but I'll put myself in the position as somebody who's listening to this podcast and imagining their budget for the coming year and ask you, where do you see bang for the buck, I guess, at the grocery store? You mentioned vegetable proteins are coming down. Where else?
Actually, you know, the one place that I would encourage your listeners to visit more is the freezer aisle. It's often not visited all that much because people want to buy fresh, but given what's going on with food prices, you may want to go there a little bit more often. You'd be surprised of the quality and the taste. Some farmers are now snap freezing their harvest right out on the field. And so you can basically capture that freshness as soon as whatever you're harvesting gets harvested, essentially. And so the quality is getting better. And what's beautiful is that prices tend to be quite stable. And so you may want to actually go there once in a while, and that will actually help you save a bit of money. So that is certainly one place that you should consider.
How will you be changing your diet in the coming year because of either prices or because of just what you've learned about the industry over the past little while?
Well, I'm not dealing with a COVID-15. You may have heard of the COVID-15.
I have more than heard of it.
People gaining weight. We are expecting a lot of people to think about, you know, about changing their lifestyle because we've been in this pandemic for 10 months now. People are still trying to find their footing. Even 10 months in, it's been hard. And of course, going into the winter, we're not moving as much. That's the problem. And so when you're not moving as much, you have to change your diet. And so what we're planning to do here as a family is to look for lighter, healthier choices, and we may not be tempted to eat as much meat as we used to go through the winter because we're just not going to move as much, probably not for the next little while.
I also want to ask you, and I have honestly no idea if you guys have factored this in or not, so feel free to just say no, but I'm kind of interested in the rise of these meal kits that are delivered to homes, and I've seen a sharp uptick in a number of people I know using them, and I wonder how they just impact the industry overall and if they have any weight in the research you do.
I think it is an interesting phenomena, and I just mentioned earlier something about cooking fatigue. I actually think that meal kits can empower consumers looking for time, looking for ideas. Menu management can be tiring, and so meal kits really come in at the right time. And that's why that sector, which was really worth about $10 million 10 years ago, is now worth about $400 million now, which is a lot. And
wow.
You're now seeing Loblaws helping out restaurants in the GTA, offering meal kits from restaurants. So if Loblaws became a food broker this year, brokering food between restaurants and consumers, and they did that by designing meal kits. So you can basically replicate, I don't know if you're a big fan of Burger Priest, which is a well-known burger place in Toronto, you can actually get a meal kit from Burger Priest to recreate a Burger Priest experience in your own home. And so I actually do think it's a powerful formula. However, and this is a big however, price is a big issue. I mean, it's $10 to $12 a pop per person. It gets really expensive. So if you're on a tight budget, it's really expensive. And the other thing, of course, is packaging. There's been a lot of criticism about the fact that they do use a lot of plastics and packaging. So that's something they're going to have to tackle at some point.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, and not to end this on a bit of a downer, but I do wonder about it after looking through some of the report, is even just assuming that these vaccines managed to beat COVID in 2021, I know climate change has played a big role in the rise in prices. So is this a trend you think we're going to keep seeing as, you know, we have more wildfires, more droughts, et cetera, et cetera?
I think so. Unfortunately, climate change is a reality. And this is why I think more and more governments are actually talking about food autonomy, growing more food all year round in Canada, developing control environment agriculture projects. I think that's the key. Greenhouses, vertical farms, hydroponics, aquaponics. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do that can actually make Canada's agri-food sector much stronger. And so, we are expecting a lot of changes in years to come as a result of what we went through in 2020.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to walk us through this report. And I look forward to spending more money on groceries this year.
Wisely. You have to spend money wisely. That's the important thing.
Dr. Sylvain Charlebois of Dalhousie University. That was the big story. We are back. We're so happy you're back too. You can find us, as always, at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can find us on Twitter at thebigstoryfpn. You can talk to us anytime by email, thebigstorypodcast@rci.rogers.com. And we would love to hear from you, whatever you think. We are wide open for topics. Hopefully, we will have many happy stories this year. I'm just going to cross my fingers and count on you guys to send us some. Thank you for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and we will talk tomorrow.